God's Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. This is Will Rice, and First Light is a brief Bible challenge encouraging you to read God's Word, to think about God's Word, and to live it in real life. I just want to encourage you today, if you are a little bit discouraged and you don't see the answer for your plight, that Bible characters should be an encouragement to us. So many times we look at Bible characters and how wonderfully God used them, and we can just overlook or forget what a wretched condition they had. I'm thinking just now of a lady that I just read of this morning, and that is Hannah. Hannah was the mother of Samuel, and you think about what a godly woman she was. We often think of what a godly mother she was, and yet her circumstance was just unbelievably, you might say, pathetic. It's deserving of our sympathy, but it's also something that should raise our astonishment. Hannah was living in a day where there was no king in Israel. The judges ruled, and there was just all kinds of absurdity and obscenity going on in the nation of Israel. And Hannah was a woman who was married to a man who had two wives. Now imagine a woman in your church who's married to a man, and she's sharing that man with another wife. That on the face of it, it's probably illegal in America, but on the face of it, it's just crazy. And yet, despite the difficult situation that she couldn't control that she was in, God used her in a wonderful, wonderful way. She could not have a child, and she prayed, and God gave her a son, Samuel, which she then dedicated to God. And God used Samuel in a wonderful way, partly because of the mother who gave him the kind of example that would lead to such a thing. So when we're discouraged, we should be encouraged by the stories of saints in the Bible. Hannah would certainly be one of those. Now, you know, when we respond to our own plight in life, we can either be smug or we can be discouraged, and both of those are often a function of ignorance. So for example, in chapter 1 of 1 Samuel, the Bible says, "And her adversary," that is Hannah's competitor, adversary, the other wife, "also provoked her sore for to make her fret." Why? Because the Lord had shut up her womb. So here's this wife of Elkanah, and she says, "Well, Hannah doesn't have a child, but I do." Well, that's because God had withheld children from Hannah. God was the one that gave. God was the one that was in control. God was, at this point, withholding from Hannah this child. So this lady was smug. Hannah was discouraged. Why can't I have a child? And when we find ourselves in such a situation, we're either smug or discouraged, we may be missing God. You know, the less I know, the smarter I feel. When there's just a little bit of knowledge in the world, and I think I know all that, then I think I'm pretty smart. But the moment I realize there's something outside of that body of knowledge I have, in fact, a lot more, I realize, wow, I know almost nothing. So the less you know, the more you are inclined to feel like you know a lot, because you don't know enough to know that you don't know a lot. There's a thing called what you see is all there is. And sometimes we look at some anomaly in life or some odd situation in life, something we hear or something we see or something we sense. We try to make a pattern out of it to find an answer to what's going on. And oftentimes we have a very plausible answer. I'm a pattern seeker. I see things, hear things. I think, well, I know what's going on. I know why this is happening. And you know, my evidence is completely consistent with itself. The problem is what I see is all there is. And there may be a lot of stuff that I don't see that would totally upend my story. So in 1 Samuel 2, Hannah kind of acknowledges this. Verse 1, Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord." Her boast was in God, not in herself. Her son was a gift of God, not simply something that she had because of her greatness, her virtue in some way. She prayed. And then in verse 3, she says, "Talk no more exceeding proudly." Now, perhaps she's thinking about this other wife. I don't know. The Bible talks about God's adversaries in verse 10. And this was not God's adversary. This was simply Hannah's. But she says, "Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth." Why? "For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed." God knows the hearts. God knows what we don't know. And here, we're reminded that arrogance is a form of ignorance. The less you know, the smarter you feel. Arrogance is a form of ignorance. So here's the other wife of Elkanah. She feels smug. Why? Because she didn't know. She was ignorant. She ignored what was there. That is God in this situation. God is the one who gave children. You think about Hannah, discouraged and despondent. What was she missing? God. And what does she acknowledge, or who does she acknowledge in her prayer in 1 Samuel chapter 2? And the answer is God. You see, arrogance feels superior. The other wife with whom she was kind of competing, I would guess, she provoked her. She made her fret. Why? Because the Lord had shut up Hannah's womb. Well, did they know that God was involved in all this? There's a husband and a wife, but there's the life-giving God, and no one seemed to be thinking about that. Arrogance feels superior. Arrogance feels entitled. At the same time, there was a priest named Eli, and he had two sons who were helping in the work of the tabernacle, and they were committing all kinds of sins. It was selfishness and greed and lust and just everything wrong. And the Bible says of them that it was great. Their sin was great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. People had a less exalted view of God because of the people that were pretending to serve him. And so they felt entitled. They felt like they deserved to have things better than the people they were supposed to be serving. And that's what arrogance does. It feels superior, it feels entitled, because it doesn't acknowledge God. It does not recognize God in the events of life. Humility gives everything to God. You know, confidence is a function of humility. Why do I say that? I don't mean humility as in, oh, I can't do anything. I'm no good. I'm nobody. No, humility in the sense that you realize you are not all there is. There is a God in heaven. When I am great and my greatness is based on how superior I am or how entitled I am, then everyone's got to walk on eggshells around me, because if there's the slightest insult to my greatness, then there's all kinds of contention. When I realize, look, I am what God made. I have what God gives. I need to be a great steward, a good steward. I need to serve God with what I am. Humility gives everything to God, and then the pressure is on God. And that's what Hannah did. She gave her adversary to God. She gave her son Samuel to God. She gave her future to God. And friend, God is at work in what you cannot see, and God is the one that will lift you up. In verses 4 through 10, we just have generic examples of how God exalts the humble and gives grace to the humble and cuts the arrogant down a couple notches. In verses 11 to the end of the chapter, you find a repeated contrast between Hannah and her son and Eli the priest and his sons. Hannah gave her son to God, and Eli's sons were trying to get everything they could from God. So you have a specific contrast of the proud and the humble. God is at work in what you can't see, and God is the one that will lift you up. In verse 7 of Hannah's prayer, she says, God bringeth low, and God lifteth up. Arrogance is a form of ignorance. You know, sometimes we scratch our heads at the things that we see, and we just need to remember that God might exist in that part of knowledge you don't have right now. God may be at work in ways you don't see. And that is a cure for both arrogance, and it is also a cure for discouragement. So arrogance is a form of ignorance, and God gives knowledge as we rely on Him to have the strength we don't have, to know the things that we don't know, and to accomplish what we cannot accomplish.